Hello and welcome back to Core Finance. I'm Matt Brown. I'm joined by Matthew Yates, who is an investment manager at 7IM. How are you today, Matthew?
I'm very well, very well. Just about dry. Now I'm inside.
Well, happy Monday to you. Sorry about the weather. Now, look, it was an interesting weekend. There was a lot of kind of news flow coming out. The key thing, I think, were the German elections. And it feels like nothing done. I mean, if you were to look at the market this morning, not knowing we'd had a German election, you wouldn't even know it was there. I mean, the DAX hasn't moved, the euro really hasn't gone anywhere. It's business as usual, onwards and upwards maybe, or just crab sideways for the meantime.
Well, I think it comes about kind of trading off what it means short term and what it means longer term. So I think going into the election, really the market expectation and commentator's expectation was very much of a continuation of the grand coalition seen between the CDU and the SDP. What people were expecting all along, I think, was an increase in support for the AfD party. What people, I don't think, were expecting was the extent to which that would increase. Mm-hmm. So you now have AfD as the third largest party in the German election system. And now it becomes a case of the SDP, who have kind of really been hit quite hard, thinking about what they're going to do. Scholz has taken off the continuation of that grand coalition off the table. And so it just becomes uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And I think in the follow-up, whenever a German electoral kind of process finishes, you expect a long period of negotiations. Yeah. So in 2013, the discussions and the negotiations between Merkel and the SDP took around 2 months. With two parties, which looks like the most likely outcome now, this kind of Jamaica coalition, mm-hmm. between the CDU, the Green Party and the FDP, the Liberals, looking like the most obvious outcome, you think, okay, if it took 2 months between two parties, we've got three parties now, and all the while, all of the parties to think that are going into coalition with the CDU, scared of the same thing happening to them that happened to Schulz's party. Mm-hmm. You know, partner with Merkel and feel the backlash of being in coalition and being a minority party in that coalition. So I think really the impact on markets is just what is probably going to be a prolonged negotiation process. And I think when people think about the long-term prospects for Europe, and one of the reasons why Europe looks attractive as an investment centre on the medium to long term, it's because of the prospect of finally getting the European kind of project sorted. The sort of innovations that Macron's talking about building into the European system, that Merkel and the stability of Germany was seen as being supportive of, now that's suddenly put into question. And so I think the market selling off on the open, kind of very minorly, mm-hmm. and now really kind of rallying as the session's gone on, really reflects that fact that on the short-term basis, there's not too much new information for markets to price. It becomes very much a neutral event. I think what it does raise the prospect of is over the longer term, those reforms that in many ways can be seen as constructive for the long-term European growth story being brought into question a little bit more.
And with regards to investment, and you mentioned Europe and the model and maybe moving forward, Macron and Merkel will support this model. Does that strengthen the case for owning European equities?
I think there's a lot of reasons that investors can look at Europe and say that's an attractive place to be investing in the equity market. I think you've got valuations which are kind of dampened a little bit by the banking sector, which we know has kind of ongoing issues. But leaving that aside for a second, I think for so very many years, Europe was seen as really the centre of political issues, and I know we're just talking about one, but talking about on a relatively benign scale compared to the sort of issues that you see if you look from a UK investor, mm-hmm. you know, grappling with the outcome of kind of the European referendum and the whole Brexit issue. If you look at the US, Donald Trump, clearly you saw that great rotation trade on the back of Trump's kind of promises, and now that's very much being unwound. So if I look across the world and I think, okay, where is the real political risk? Europe, although it sees harder issues, looks like it's working through them, albeit slowly. I think when you look at the growth story in Europe, you've got consensus growth expectations at around 2% this year. That's an unbelievable number if you just look back on a 2-3 year view and where we've come from. That's growth driven by reasonably, I suppose, consistent and kind of unified growth across the continent. I think the main problem for European equities this year has been the euro. And so with a 13% appreciation of the euro, as markets start to price this economic strength and the prospects of what the ECB are going to be doing with monetary policy, and I know they're talking later today, that's been a headwind for equities in the same way that we saw the weakening pound was a boon for the UK market. Mm-hmm. You see similar kind of stories in the European market. Okay, the prospects and the ability of European exporters to continue to trade with a stronger currency. So I think it's playing those two things off against each other. I think the core growth story in Europe is good. I think valuations on a relative basis look attractive. And I think it's really thinking about if Draghi, as he has been doing recently, talking about being conscious of the euro and conscious of a euro that's not being too strong, I think that lays the foundations for, at least on a relative basis, an attractive entry point for European equities. Then there comes the overall question, the overarching question of how much do you want to hold equities on kind of an aggregate level. Mm-hmm. But I think certainly on a relative to US and relative to the UK, as a UK-based investor, Europe looks attractive.
Fantastic. Well, on that note, Matthew Yates from 7IM, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.